So, we have run, interestingly enough, through what paralyzes us. And God has formulated this because each week I didn't know where we were going. And then the next week he gave us what we needed. And then we came out of that paralysis into don't just stand, run. You know, you weren't given wings to stay still. You were meant to fly, all right? And we talked about going and running and doing. And then last week we talked about what happens as we go and we run and we do is Satan grabs hold of our ankles. He sticks his leg out. He ties our shoelaces together. He does it through all kinds of means and all kinds of ways. I mean, he brings the thunder when things are good. And we had a Mac Daddy amount of people here last week. And this week was triumphantly difficult, all right? And that's okay, because we are all good. We are doing well. We have come through doctor's offices, hospitals, heart attacks, visits, deaths in families, memorial services, new life changes, and we are all still doing fine because the family of God is together and the family of God is helpful and the family of God works and we keep our eyes on the prize because we don't know what we're supposed to learn in the wilderness. And wilderness means listen. And wilderness backwards in Hebrew says the secret or the mysterious entrance or doorway to the knowledge, to the house of strength. In the wilderness, we can find hope. We can find joy, all right? And then we talked about several people in the Scripture. Moses, who we've already done. Elijah, Elisha, Job, Jesus. All right, well, we're always going to talk about Jesus, but it just so happens that I had prepped to do the next 3 weeks on Elijah, and then Elijah to Elisha, and then Christmas, we're going to do a little bit of Job, all right? So we're going to go to the end of Job for Christmas, and it was something I read called Christmas in the Land of Uz. Not Oz, different thing, all right? Different thing. If I only had a brain, we'd do that, but since we don't, all right, for those of you who got it, you're welcome, all right? But we're not. Christmas in the Land of Uz. So today, a very popular story, very simple story. My job is simply to point out what's there for us as we grow and as we continue, as we enter and come out of the wilderness, as we run through our daily lives and we try to do this thing called faith, we try to do this thing called hope, we effort this thing called Christianity, all right? Here, what can we take from this super fun story? All right, we got to preface this. We're about 100 years post-King David. So we've gone through David and into Solomon, Solomon's children, and so on, and we're about 100 years down the road, all right? And Israel is now divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And as this happens, as is always happens, all right, people get greedy, they get power hungry, they listen to people they shouldn't listen to, they gain wisdom from others. And a character that you all have heard about, because we use this as a name we call people, Jezebel, all right? All right, King Ahab found his Jezebel, and that's who it really was, the original Jezebel, all right? And she pulls him further from the God of Israel and toward a God that we generally call Baal, B-A-A-L. There's actually an apostrophe in there, so it would be Baal, all right? And so if I say it both ways, just, you know, get used to it. And there is a man named Obadiah, good man. Good man. Obadiah's story is strong. He's steadfast. He's faithful. He's wise. He stands by. And then we have this guy called Elijah. And Elijah is a common man, all right? Elijah is the Old Testament version of Peter, James, and John, all right? Real life, mistake making. You cannot miss out on the fact that they have screw-ups, but they're also really powerful people for God. Elijah is one of the initial ones of those John Doe regular guys that pulls off really cool things. And you're going to see his humanity and how he works through this story. So Obadiah is not a prophet. He is still a servant in the kingdom, but he's raised up. He's one of those people that have, like Nehemiah, all right, that had gotten raised up in the kingdom but worked for the king. And so he advised him to see Elijah. Now, he didn't want to see Elijah. All right? Jezebel hates Elijah because Elijah still preaches God. And when Jezebel started going toward Baal and taking Ahab toward Baal, God sent Elijah to say, well, if you're going to act like this, then it ain't going to rain. What do you mean it ain't going to rain? If I worship Baal, what do you mean it ain't going to rain? I'll just ask Baal to make it rain and he'll make it rain. And Elijah said, good luck with that. Because you're acting this way, no rain. Okay? No rain. Now, where we pick up the story is 3 years later. 1,090 days later. And guess what has happened? No rain. And everybody is upset, perturbed, hungry, scared, all kinds of things. And here's what happens. Over 1,000 days of no rain later. Obadiah went to Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to Elijah. Listen. And Ahab said, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Is that you, O troubler of Israel? Let me take this to us right now. Have you ever taken a stand for something that you knew was biblical? Okay? That you knew was the moral high ground. And on down through that conversation, somebody goes, you just don't like X, or it's your fault that Y, or you are the reason people don't like B. Ever happened to you? You say, look, I don't believe that sex outside of the confines of marriage is right. Well, you're just judgmental of people who live together. Well, you just a prude and you don't even know what sex is. Well, you, has that ever happened to anybody? You take a stand and then you are turned into a menace to society because society wants it to be this way because we're in love, because we're old enough, because it's our choice. You are the problem. That's exactly what happens right here. Elijah does what God says. Let me see if I can do it this way. All right. I tell my son, if you put your hand on the red part of the stove, it will burn you. My son puts his hand on the red part of the stove and it burns him. And he looks at me and says, it's your fault. I tell my son, I tell my daughter, if you fail a class, 3 months from now, I'm going to take your phone. No, you fail, no passy, no phony. All right? 3 months later, she fails a class and I take the phone. It's my fault because I'm mean. Anybody realize this situation now? The person who has a want or a desire or a thing that they feel like, oh, you ready for this? They are entitled to, regardless of morality, then becomes the fault of the moral. And they turn it to, you detest this or you hate that. It's happening over and over in our culture right now. We call it intolerance. This is Old Testament intolerance. Ahab looks at Elijah and says, you're the one that said it wasn't going to rain. Don't you think Elijah wanted to do like I flipped a switch? Yeah, it was me. I ran over there and just shut off the water to the universe. That's the way you feel sometimes, though, isn't it? That's the way I feel. Because I speak out against this thing or that thing, I am now a hater of all people who are those things. Well, that's just baloney. Right here. Thousands of years ago, this is going on at the highest level of the government. Elijah goes, well, it wasn't my fault. But while we're talking, Elijah said, but you and your father's family have. That's when you say to your daughter or your son, I told you. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and you have followed Baal. Instead of listening to your heart or your head, you listen to your loins. Baal was a god of sex and fertility. It was a very sexually oriented thing. Have you noticed that we run into this a lot? We were talking about the churches in Acts. We're talking about the churches in Ephesus and the churches in Galatia and Philippi and the one that was centered around all the women and the priestesses and all this. Yes, listen, it's always, always about what the natural body wants. Think about all the things we're fighting about today in our government. We're fighting about them because 0.5, 1%, 2%, 3% of the people are yelling out, don't shut me out. Don't violate my rights. Don't, because I want this, because I was born or I grew, whatever their excuse is, you must make a place for me despite your morals. Because you married Jezebel, and Jezebel wants to do it her way, you've decided that her way is more important than God's way. That's exactly what is happening right here. Now summon the people from all over Israel. He said, so, it's time to stop playing games. It's time to test out our theories. He knew it wasn't a theory, but he decides he's going to test it. And here's what he does. You know, sometimes you'll make somebody an offer. Let's have a duel, all right? But you want to have it with your gun and give them a Nerf gun, and you want to have it at your house and give them sunglasses and a visor, and you want to make everything in your favor to make sure you win. We always try to tip the scales in our favor. That's not what happens here. I want you to listen to what he does. Now summon the people from all over Israel. He says, first of all, I want to make sure that there's no question that anything's done wrong. Everybody gets to watch. Everybody. We're going to go to Rupp Arena and we're going to take the roof off so that everybody can see in, bring all the news cameras, and anybody who can fill the place can watch this. That's number one. Number two, bring 450 prophets of Baal. I'm just a dude who's been out in the desert, all right? You get all of the people who are his prophets, 450. You bring them to Rupp Arena. They'll stand on one side. I'll stand on the other. If you want to, you can bring the prophets of Asherah, all right? You can bring some of the other guys, people that aren't God, more people against God, bring them too. And we're going to go to Mount Carmel. Do you know what Mount Carmel translates to at this day and age, this time? Home of Baal. We're going to go to your house. We're going to have the battle on your mountain just in case you would think, well, we're out of range. We don't have cell service here. He can't quite hear us. We're going to go to Baal's house. He was supposed to reside. He could go anywhere, according to them, but he was supposed to reside on Mount Carmel, all right? So let's go to his place. Let's take 450 of you and me. And then he sets the table for what's supposed to happen, all right? You all know this story? Have you heard this before? All right? Here's what happened. They were going to have a duel to see which god would take up, lick up, eviscerate the sacrifice. We're going to hear a little more about that later, but here was the thing. On one side was going to be an altar made of stone with a cow on it, a bull, whatever. On the other side, an altar made of stone with a cow on it, all right? And one of the groups was going to say, our God, dear Baal, would you please take the sacrifice? And we're going to wait and see who takes it. On the other side, they're going to ask God, God of Israel, Yahweh, to take the sacrifice. And whoever takes the sacrifice first wins, okay? All of the prophets of Baal show up with their swords, with their shields, with their armor, all of this stuff, all right? Elijah shows up in his flip-flops, all right? And a lawn chair. Brings a lawn chair with him. And rather than starting off and finishing the battle quickly, he sets up his lawn chair by the altar and watches. Here we go. We're going to come back to this verse. Elijah went before the people. Before the battle started, he stood out at half court on the K in Rupp Arena. He looks at everybody, doesn't look at the prophets, doesn't look at the leaders. He looks at the people. And here's what he says. People, I want you to listen because we're going to come back to this right here. How long will you waver between two opinions. Let me say it again. How long will you waver? Oh, I see people starting to catch on. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow him. Hear the words of the Lord to the church at the angel at Laodicea, right? Thousands of years later. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the rule of all creation. I know your deeds, you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, but because you're riding the middle, right here. How long will you pray to God for rain, pray to Baal for sex, pray to God for crops, pray to Baal for money? How long are you going to keep trying to fairy prance between these two? Fairy prance, a very technical term for what we're doing. But the people said nothing. You ever get in that position where somebody makes an argument so good you just go, Cody said, yeah, all the time. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophet choose. They get to pick which bull? And let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood. They slice it up. I'll prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but I'm not going to set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God. Sorry, guys, I got behind. And I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he's God. That's how we're going to know which one's real. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given to them and they prepared it. This is in the morning. And they called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon. Okay? 6 a.m., everybody gathers. Let's give them till 6:30 that all of the rules were set up, and maybe even till 7 that they get the bull out there. Probably didn't take that long, but now there's a bull on an altar, cut up, mind you, cut up into pieces so it's easier to chew, all right? Yeah, seriously. And Elijah's over here with his feet propped up, you know, and an AL-8 in his hand, because we're at Rupp Arena, all right? And he's watching. He's watching, all right? Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response, and they had danced around the altar they had made. So for 5 hours, they've been dancing and crying, 450 of them, all right? Looking like we imagine the Indians to doing a rain dance out in the middle of the plains, all right? Yelling, screaming, looking the fool. And by this time, Elijah's got his humanity on. Listen, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them, all right? Talk, this is the smack talking of the scripture, all right? They're dancing. Elijah holds his AL-8 up. This is hilarious and goes, says, shout louder. Hey, he can't hear you. Louder. There's one of him, so they can't hear him either. Shout louder. All right, listen to this. Surely he is a god. I love this. Perhaps he is in deep thought. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's traveling. Do you hear what he's saying here? I think he's on call waiting. Maybe he's at Disney. Maybe he's taking a nap. Someone poke him and wake him up. It's been 5 hours. So they shouted louder. Okay, they get desperate. Instead of cutting up the cow, listen. They start cutting themselves. They're taking them swords to themselves now, okay? This is a crazy, yucky, hilarious scene. And he's like, midday passed and they continued their frantic. I'd be frantic by this time too, prophesying, until the time had come for the evening sacrifice. There was a dedicated time of day that people were to sacrifice anyway. They did this all day. But there was no response, and no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to the people, come here. He puts his AL-8 down. He stands up, and he says, y'all got to quit. this is embarrassing for me now. I'm embarrassed for y'all. If you cut yourself anymore, you're going to bleed to death. This is not going well, and they knew it. So Elijah took 12 stones. Now, this is the part that a lot of people don't talk about. One for each of the tribes. And he came saying, your name shall be Israel. And with the stones, he built an altar. Okay, so he took rocks on top of the wood, 12 of them, put them on the altar. So now we have on Mount Carmel, on the ground, an altar of wood and stone and a cow that's whole, not cut up, on it. The people dug a trench around it. Think moat. Castle, moat. Think moat around it, all right? He arranged the wood. Then he cut the bull into pieces. And then he laid it on the wood. Here's why. He wanted to soak it. Fill four jars. We're talking about the big stone jars with water. And pour it on the offering. So they doused it with water four times. And it started to fill up the moat. Then he said, do it again and do it a third time. 12 jars of water, 12 tribes. Water ran down the altar and filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. His prayer is important. We're going to go back to the verse where we asked the question, and we're going to come back to this verse to get our answer. I want you to listen. If I'm in a big challenge, a big duel, UK had an interesting game the other day. All right? Now, the three killed us. But it was an interesting game, and there was a lot of moments that made you want to stand up and cheer, and a lot of moments that made you want to high-five your friends, and I'm sure there were several bars and restaurants around Lexington that went crazy, all right, when that shot went in, all right, from Seton Hall, and then, with 1.1 seconds, half-court shot. Do you know how many people kicked over chairs, stood up, probably knocked over beverages, yelling and screaming, listen to me, like they made the shot? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Were some of you at home alone and you jumped out of your chair? You're like, yeah! And then you look around like, I'm good. You know what I'm talking about? When big moments happen, we tend to throw ourselves into them, right? It's like, you ever said this? We won! We won! What's that mentality? You're a fan, but you're a part of the team, like you shot or had a free throw or were on the bench or something like that. Okay. That when you're working for the Lord, when things are going good, do any of you have a tendency to take credit for this? It is the same. It is the same. And I expect Elijah to be like, time to open up a can. I'm finishing right there. Y'all don't worry. Everybody's looking at me like, time to open up a can. I'm about to throw down. I'm about to win, all right? We wouldn't have blamed him. Nobody in this room would have blamed him if he'd have said something like that. But none of this was about that. In all of his humanity, in all of his trash talking, Elijah's heart, and this is important, people, the heart, even in our failures, is important. Listen to the prayer. Lord, let's get our focus right with the first word. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. A typical way to talk about God in the Old Testament, and every one of the Israelites who were listening would have known it. I'm calling on the one true God who made us all and brought us all out of Egypt to begin with. Let it be known today that you are the God in Israel. Listen, and I am your servant and have done these things, listen, at your command. That I have done these things under your command. That I have done these things by your orders. That I have done these things because you said so. I will and act under the authority of God. Why? So that these people will know that you are Lord and that you will turn their hearts back again. Listen, immediately the fire of the Lord fell. I want you to listen to what happens here. Giant lightning bolt is the best explanation we have for this. A fire from heaven, listen, comes down, takes the cow, the rocks, the sticks, licked up the water. You know, we describe the flames as tongues, licked up the water in the trench. There was a lightning bolt that shazammed down, made a pop that wakes you up in the middle of the night. And when the people got recovered from the noise, they looked and there was nothing left. The fire burnt the rocks, the fire burnt the wood, the fire burnt the cow, the fire burnt the water. And Elijah went, and they fell prostrate, always a fun word to read, and cried, "The Lord, He is God. He is God." We've been talking about this in the wilderness, and I want to talk about it in the battle. Listen to me. The question is, how long will you waver? The question underneath that is this. Are you listening? Who do you think is in control? For 3 years, while there was no rain, you remember when we went back to paralyzed, I asked you what caused you to rise and fall. For some of you, it's how your spouse feels about you. For some of you, it's how your circumstances present you. For some of you, it's whether your kids are healthy and happy or whether they're sick and upset. For some of you, it's whether they'll sleep at night or whether they won't sleep at night. For some of you, it's how your friends perceive you. For some of you, it's how your checkbook balances or doesn't balance. We all rise and fall on things, listen, that we assume that we have control over. I'm going to say it again. We rise and fall on things that we assume we have control over. Why do you waver? Either God is in control or what? He isn't. There is never a time in the history of the universe where God has been almost in control, where there was something that happened that He didn't cause or allow. That's never occurred. When His Son died, He did not frantically run around heaven at light speed wondering what the went on. Yet here we sit, between jobs, between relationships, in failed marriages, in failing health conditions, in failing academia in schools, in failing to get the job we always thought, acting as if, in some way, form, or fashion, we are actually in control of what is going on. And Jezebel thought she was, and convinced Ahab that he was, and convinced him that it's way more fun if we let Baal please our senses and ask him for all the fun stuff, because following the rules just doesn't meet our natural needs. So we waver, ready? Because of the extreme difference in what we want and what we need. And as the two get out of balance, we begin to think that in some way, form, or fashion, we are the provider. We are the creator instead of the created. Why is there a drought? Oh, that'll preach. I wasn't ready to say that. I like it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why is there a drought? Because they wavered. Because they picked the middle. Because they didn't choose a side. Because they were lukewarm. And their life went down the tube because of it. Not because God didn't bless them, but because they chose not to choose God. How long will you waver? I don't know what it is. Listen to me. We're going back to this again. I don't know what it is that is competing with you for God. I have named and listed many things over the last several weeks. I will not name them again. You know why? Because you're already thinking of your thing. What is so important in your life that as it rises and falls, so does your self-worth? We're here for what, 80, 90 years if we're lucky? 80 and 90 million? It's just a second in the eternity with Jesus. Nobody wants to hear this part, but this is the reality, folks. There is a group of preachers and teachers now who finish the race at grace. Listen, Cy, Preston, and I, let me let you into our world. They may disagree, but I'll look at them and read them. The hardest thing right now in doing ministry with people that we love, the very hardest thing, and I told you, for me, the hardest thing and the thing that caused me anxiety is the confrontation, the loving you difficultly, all right? But for us, the hardest thing is that line between grace and justice. When we know full well that a person comes in off the street and they are hungry and they are thirsty, but I have given them Kroger cards, I have paid their electric bill, and nothing is changing. And so they come in again, and I know that I want to offer grace to them and give them more, but if I keep doing it, I'm destroying them and the cycle and our cash flow. And that's hard. Guess when it's harder? When it's you. Sighs over there like, and our problem is we will forever, we can't help it. It's in our nature to err on the side of grace. Listen to me. God is grace. God offers grace. The difference is He is also just. He cannot be otherwise. And there are some teachers out there now who will tell you, regardless of your sin, you will get into heaven. Well, they leave off if you know Christ. But they say you can keep on sinning, keep on doing things. Nothing can keep you from heaven. Nothing can keep you from God. Yes, yes, it can. And God is and always has been and always will be a God of justice. Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them and Elijah had them brought down into the Kishon Valley and they were slaughtered there. Yes, God anointed the slaughter of 450 people. You don't have to like it. You have to believe it. Not choosing God always ends in death. Elijah said to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, and Elijah climbed to the top of the mountain, bent down on the ground, and put his face to his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he said to his servant, and the servant went and looked, and there is nothing. Seven more times. Go back and look. He came back, nothing. Go and look, came back, nothing. Go and look. On the seventh time, he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand, and it's rising from the sea. This cracks me up. So Elijah said, go tell Ahab. In fact, hitch up your chariot, all right? You know what we say when you're trying to get somebody to run fast? Get on your horse, all right? You want to get him to go? Giddy up. That's what he says here. Hey, bro, you might not just want to go tell Ahab. You might want to get on your horse, all right? It's coming. Meanwhile, the sky grew black. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off into Jezreel. I love this. The power of the Lord came onto Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Listen, I can't explain this. I've been reading commentary on this. I can't explain this. I'm going to tell you what I think happened. It is my feeble mind, but y'all got to hear this. They get to the king's castle off of the mountain, and then the rain's coming so hard, they got to get out of Dodge, okay? It's going to do the land, but I mean, it's a storm coming. So Ahab, the king, gets on the fastest horses, the fastest chariots, the fastest caravan, and takes off toward the valley. Ahab was riding off into Israel. So he's in a cart or a chariot. Y'all got that part? The Lord came down on Elijah, and tucking his cloak in his belt, he takes his coat, he tucks it in so ain't nothing flapping behind him, and the Bible says he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Y'all thought the flash was first. You got another explanation for what happens here, but I want to see this in a movie. Dude's on a horse, little prophet with his robe tucked in, flip-flops in his hand, running, and the horse is chasing him. This is fun. This is fun. I want to see this. I am getting to heaven one day, and I am busting out the rewind button on God. Several places he's going to take me back to, but this is one. I want to see the flash before the flash. I want to see Ahab chase Elijah in his chariot. Love it. Listen to me. We don't know how the victory comes. All we know is that, listen, in Christ there is victory. God's going to make his name known. You read it to the end, he wins. It's as simple as that. And there has never been a bill that couldn't be paid, a relationship that didn't last, a child that didn't get sick that he did not know about. That has never happened. He has never been surprised, never been taken off guard, and never been out of control. You either believe that or you do not. Period. There's no in between. Everything in between is lukewarm. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Period. A few generations before, a prophet spoke these words, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Good times. Next week, we'll go to the story that happens next. Elijah, Elisha, and we're going to talk about what commitment looks like. Let me untuck. Let's pray. God, in my spirit now is the old hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Listen, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. May the eternal, timeless love of God be a provision for your lonely heart. May the vast expanse of all that is on this earth, owned by God, be the comfort in your time of need. May the hope that is already into the future be the hope in your time of doubt. May you be full of the author and, listen, perfecter of your faith. In Jesus' name, amen.